This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
It is AM Springfield. Let's say good morning to Kevin Lust of the Lincoln Land Community College Small Business Development Center. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. Just dancing to the bumper music.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Good way to start the day.
All right. What's the most common concern you folks have addressed in the last couple of weeks since the regs come out and people getting paychecks and so on and so forth? Small businesses, what's the most common concern or common question you've had?
What do I do? I mean, it's just as simple as that. Folks are just facing a time when they are completely beyond any previous questions they've ever had to ask themselves. And so, coincidentally, that's where the Illinois Small Business Development Center comes in. Our role has always been to provide guidance. Typically, it's been guidance for business growth. Lately, it's shifted, of course, and now we're helping guide folks to through the different programs and opportunities that are available to them so that they can stay open.
How does it differ based on how large or how small the operation is? I mean, are there different issues, different questions being asked for someone who has a little mom-and-pop operation of 8 or 10 people as opposed to somebody who may be in a restaurant business that employs 75 people? Is there a big difference?
Yeah, so, you know, the questions are of a nature very similar, but they're tougher. You know, the sole proprietor, the individual, you know, self-employed person who's maintaining a business, they face the very real challenge of how to look after themselves. But the pressures and stress that are affecting so many of our local business owners now who genuinely care about their workforce, and for most of them, they've invested a great deal in these folks, not just economically through training and things like that, but most of them are personally invested in their employees' business. So the real challenge for the business owner who has employees, whether it's 5 or 50, is how can I take care of these folks? And what we're hearing, or what I hear from the people that I visit with, is that, you know, I never hear concerns about how do I come out of this? How do I, you know, keep my business open? It's always how do I take care of these employees? So that piece of the puzzle has been, both gratifying and terrifying because, you know, the efforts that we make to assist the businesses take on that much greater a responsibility, really, on our part to make sure we're getting good information into the hands of people who can actually act on it.
Is it safe to say that most of the businesses impacted have been of the service nature, a lot of restaurants, bars, places like that in the service industry?
Certainly, restaurants and bars, we're all hearing a great deal about that. I think what we hear less about that is a really significant impact are those folks in, for example, the salon, hair care industry. The Max, the small business dog, is laying here next to me, and he looks more like a rug than he does a dog because mm-hmm. The groomers are not able to do what they do. Masseuses, therapists. You know, occupational therapists where they're working directly with people and maybe they can't do the home visits and things. So there's obviously an all-encompassing impact on local businesses here.
How many different plans are, how many different they have a small business owner as far as getting some financial help from the government with this stimulus package? What are the options available? Are there a lot of them, or are some of them simply not going to qualify?
Well, the qualifications are a little bit different on each one, but businesses in our area are generally defined as small, no matter what the definition. And so what we're seeing is most of the people that we visit with, their businesses are eligible. It's almost always size-based. So there are two fantastic state programs, one in particular that is really available to people. And then, of course, most of us have heard about the U.S. Small Business Administration's efforts through their two main programs that they have operating. And I'd welcome the chance to tell folks about them if you'd like me to.
Please do, yes. Tell them, especially those who would qualify.
Yeah, so for business owners, right now, the United States Small Business Administration is pursuing two separate programs, and there's, you know, obviously it's government, so we're getting into some initials and things, but the first of those is called the economic injury disaster loans, and EIDL, of course, EIDL, we love our acronyms in government, but the economic injury disaster loans are a direct loan from the U.S. Small Business Administration. Now, that's not usually how it works. Usually when people hear about, they say SBA loans, you're talking SBA guaranteed loans, which is, you know, you go to the bank and things aren't quite exactly how you'd like it, just like when you bought your first car and grandma or grandpa or mom or dad co-signed for you. The SBA, in effect, becomes a co-signer. Well, with the economic injury disaster loans, these are direct loans from the SBA, so people apply directly to the U.S. Small Business Administration for that. Now, just a quick word of caution. If folks start searching these things up, SBA.gov, smallbusinessadministration.gov is the source. Be really careful because the web search on these loan funds and things will take you, in many cases, through a series of ads that are people charging you for applying for a program that's free to apply for. So, but the benefit of this program, the really great part of it is a loan. It's directly from the SBA. The loan terms come through really attractively. They're trying to push money out to people in a way that doesn't impact their business long term. So it's low interest rates, long repayments, et cetera. But the first $10,000 of those economic injury disaster loans comes in the form of an advance that the SBA is trying to make available just as quickly as possible. So you apply for the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. The SBA is still telling us within 3 days of the application making its way through their processing, they're making the first $10,000 available as an advance. And the beauty of it is, Sam, even if you don't get, you don't qualify for a loan above that, you just keep the $10,000. Even if you do get a loan, the $10,000 doesn't have to be repaid in any case. So that's where we've been telling our clients to go first. Get that loan in the works. Get your application in as a business and as a sole proprietor and start moving forward with that.
Okay, Kevin, let me interrupt here for a moment. Let's remind everybody again, how many employees do I have to apply for this? And is there an income, gross income, that I must be under to qualify for this?
So the SBA uses a series of different standards based on the industries. But as a general rule, if you're, well, the broadest one, the number that affects most businesses is below 500 employees.
Okay.
So manufacturing, it's below 100, but then there's the variations in different manufacturings. They go 250, 500, et cetera. If anybody has a question about that, if they're getting forward, it's the economic injury disaster loan is essentially 500 employees or less. So that's the starting point.
So again, restaurants and bars would qualify for that?
Absolutely, sure. In fact, many of our clients who are in that industry already have applied for it. The funds are available for use for working capital, so that's going to include most of the bills and things that need to be paid. They can be used to pay fixed debts, which, you know, your existing loans, payments from before, although if you have SBA loans, they're also, there's debt relief. You're not making those payments anyway for your 504 loans, or 7A loans that you've already had. You can use it for payroll and to pay other bills as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that loan's available for sole proprietorships, all the corporate entities. Independent contractors, self-employed persons can also apply for that loan. And in fact, a good number of private nonprofit organizations, although that's not our world, I don't deal with that too much. You've spoken with John Stremstriffer recently and John Kelker. They're working with some of those nonprofit organizations on moving through that process. So that's the EIDL.
And there's another one paycheck, you tell me. Yeah.
Yeah, man. The Paycheck Protection Program is the one that just came available last week. Before I share too much about that, I just want to make a quick comment about how dramatically banks have swung into action to make this program available. You know, obviously the bill was just passed a week ago Friday. The SBA was working just as hard as they could to promote their guidance to the banks about how to handle the program. And really, in a matter of a week's time, what we saw was a brand new government program start from scratch, really, because no program had ever been done like this. And we saw our friends at most of the local banks taking applications already on Friday morning when it first came eligible. And I know many of the bankers that I was talking with, even into yesterday, I was talking with while they were at work processing those loans. So they're moving them through the system really fast. Now, it's interesting, though, Sam, because I mentioned loans, but the really powerful piece, the good economic driver of the Paycheck Protection Program through the SBA is that loans that you get, as long as you use them for the designated purposes in the right amounts and things, and primarily it's to protect your payroll, if you're using those funds for the right purposes, the loans get forgiven. So there's a six-month deferral before you have to make any payments, and during that time, your bank from whom you've received the loan, the place where you apply for these loans is through your bank. And, within the six-month pay period, there's going to be an application process back through to the bank again, applying for forgiveness of the loan. And if, as long as you can demonstrate and have the records to show that you use those funds for wages and things like that, the loan gets forgiven. The SBA will actually be paying the bank, paying those loans off.
Kevin Lust, real quick, I've got about 15 seconds. How can they get more information from you folks?
Please get in touch with us at the Illinois Small Business Development Center at Lincoln Lane Community College. Best way, email sbdc@llcc.edu, and then our phone number, 217-786-4530.
786-4530. Thanks, Kevin. As always, fantastic information. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
See you, buddy.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.